we have a number of officials whom people not who are not always in Cape Town. So we need to know our officials, and they also need to know who they are speaking to. But before that, today we are dealing with our quarterly report, and Mr. Nkiz, I'm not sure, CDG, whether you are the one who is leading the delegation, because you expected that DG to be the one. But I'm told DG is not here because he is not well. We are dealing with our quarterly report as well as the modernization program, but because of the time, I'm not sure if we'll be able to deal with the two items. So we'll first start with the, I'm sorry, the quarterly report first, but time permitting, we will do the modernization program. Let me start by introducing myself. My name is Meki Maunye, a member of the Portfolio Committee on Home Affairs. On my left is our secretary, committee secretary, Mr. Eddie Matongi. And on the right is our researcher, Mr. Adam Salomon. Kelly will start introducing herself.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Pearl Peterson Maduna, a member of the Portfolio Committee. Thank you.
Good afternoon. My name is Grace Bampiri Botman, a member of this committee. Thank you.
Afternoon. I'm Pohase Bonwe, a member of the Portfolio Committee.
Mulweni, my name is Masizole Masela, a member of this committee.
Andre Gaum, I'm the majority party's whip on the committee.
My name is Cormac Walter. I'm also a member of the committee, and it's a pleasure for me to be here. Happily, we are meeting in the afternoon, which makes it easier to attend. Thank you, Chair.
Good afternoon, Chair. My name is Manny Lefretis. I'm a member of the committee.
A member of this committee.
Good afternoon. Lothanda Makuba, a member of this committee.
DG on your side, to also have seen the songs, also our support staff. Over to DGG.
Thanks very much, Honorable Chair, and good afternoon, Honorable Members. I am Bosse Mkize, the Deputy Director General of the
Good afternoon. My name is Rosanna Rasukin, I'm the Chief Financial Officer.
Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, my name is Castro Coela, Head of Counter Corruption and Security Services.
Good afternoon, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members. My name is Jackie McKay, Head of the Learning Academy.
Good afternoon, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. My name is Selo Makau, DDG for IT. Thank you.
Good afternoon, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. My name is John Garnison, Chief Director for Policy and Planning.
Good afternoon, Chair and Honourable Members. I'm Josephine Meyer, Chief Director for Revenue and Budget Management.
Good afternoon, I'm Charlotte Mocker, Chief Director, People Management and Development, Home Affairs.
Good afternoon, my name is Tracy, and I'm Managing Minister of Information.
Good afternoon, Tracy Singh Harawa, Integrated Governance, Home Affairs.
We are all here. Thank you for introducing yourselves. Without wasting time, we would like to afford the DDG Civic Services to take us through the input. I'm sure we are in agreement that the time permitting will deal with the the IT program. If it doesn't, we'll deal only with the quarterly report. Well, it was because of the both people that were invited to Parliament this morning, that's why we couldn't meet in the morning. So all the committees that were supposed to have met in the morning were scheduled to meet in the afternoon because of the joint meeting this morning. Over to you.
Honorable Chair, thanks very much. As the Chair has indicated that we pass on the apology for the Director General for his inability to attend today. I know it's the first time that he's really unable to attend due to ill health. So the doctor said, no, if you don't look after yourself, you are going to get worse. So he then requested that we pass on his apologies for inability to attend. The presentation, as Honorable Chair indicated, is in relation to the performance of the department for the first quarter of the financial year 2012-13. We have the table of contents, however, we would request that maybe items 1, 2, and 3, because they have been presented before and they remain the same, we might not have to go through them one by one. But item 1 is talking about the 12 government priorities and outcomes, and then it identifies those to which the department responds. And then number 2 is about the Home Affairs Performance Agreement signed by the Minister with the Honourable President. And then we've got Home Affairs Outcome and Strategic Objectives. Then we go to the reporting format just to outline how we report against our plan. And then Strategic Overview of Progress, just to lay the foundation, where did we end in the financial year 11-12, and therefore how are we moving forward to 12-13. Then transformation matters, in terms of human resource reports, just to indicate the program as we had indicated before, that one of the key objectives of the department is to transform itself. And then we then report outcome by outcome, as well as then identify challenges. Item number 9, Honorable Chair, we requested that because the Director General is not here, part of it not be presented and be deferred to possibly the next briefing session. And that is the part that is with the asylum seeker management, although the report was forwarded. But when we discuss with the Director General, we submit our request that that aspect be deferred and we remain with systems modernization. Thereafter, we'll go to item number 10, which deals with the way forward. Thereafter, we will then request that due to maybe time, that we move and allow the CFO to then present the expenditure report for the first quarter. As I've indicated, those outcomes have always been stated, and therefore then we just, the bolded ones are the ones to which the Department of Home Affairs contribute directly. All people in South Africa are in good state, as well as a skilled and capable workforce, and to support inclusive growth paths, as well as the last one, which is an efficient, effective, and development-oriented public service, and an empowered, fair, inclusive citizenship. And as I requested then, that these are just the main reminders of what the department committed through the Minister, Honorable Minister on what we need to achieve over the 5-year period. And that is the completion of the strategic information and identification projects within the defined target. Effective, efficient refugee management system. As the Minister had indicated, that the issue of immigration will become the most strategic point for the department in this year. And then, of course, the contribution of to the level of skills and general economic development in South Africa, with a target to ensure that we outfit the country in getting the skills requisite for growth, and that is the target of 50,000 annually. The focus will be mainly on critical skills strategy. Then the Minister also further committed the one in terms of registration of every child within 30 days of birth, and then issue wayfinding documents to all 16-year-olds before they can turn 17, so that no one is without an ID beyond the age of 16. Improving turnaround times to ensure that services rendered within satisfaction levels of clients, owing times, as well as that our products are costed so that people know what to pay for. Determination of improving the distance. This is just mainly about the issue of making home affairs services accessible. So these are the outcomes that we then crafted for the department, secure citizenship and identity, immigration managed effectively and securely in the national interest, including aspects of economic, social and cultural development. And then of course the most important one, that our services be efficient, accessible and corruption free. So then in terms of the secured outcomes, we just indicated that these are the measurable objectives. The first one under this outcome was that we will ensure registration of birth is the only entry point for South Africans to the National Population Register, to ensure identity documents to those turning 16, to ensure the registration and identification of all South African citizens, foreign residents, refugees, asylum seekers, so that the integrity of the and security of identity is enhanced. We then set outcome two, the focus of the department mainly as a greater emphasis, area of emphasis, was that of immigration managed effectively, securely, in the national interest, for those, in particular, those areas. Namely, what we plan to achieve here is to have a secure, responsive, flexible immigration regime in support of national security, priorities, and interests. Implement effective and efficient asylum seeker and refugee management strategies and systems. Facilitate the efficient movement of bona fide travelers to support national interests and priorities, and to prevent and prohibit movement of undesirable persons in the national interest, but also to contribute towards the realization of the positive skills. This is really about attraction of and reversal of the brain drain, so that we advance to the brain gain dimension of the country. And then of course the service that is efficient, accessible and corruption free. Transform the culture of the organization in support of securing identity, citizenship and international migration, to ensure ethical conduct and zero tolerance approach to corruption, to obtain a clean audit report, to ensure a secure, effective, efficient and accessible service delivery to clients. Our reporting format then is in this format, that as we have defined the measurable objectives, we then said each of these outcomes must be broken down according to strategy objectives that will be linked to the task target. Then the strategy objectives in the tables that follow are to be achieved within this period of 2012 to 2015. In other words, working within the MTEP period. And then the targets are for the financial year 2012-2013. Performance is then reported against each target, with performance for the first quarter being shown as requested. Where necessary, we then provide an explanation for non-achievement or challenges, as well as a way forward or remedial action that we have sought to pursue to achieve the outcome that might not have been achieved. So then as a foundation was that 2011-12, we were able to make a number of gains about securing the National Population Register through the Population Registration Campaign, and it was then evident that South Africans have greater appreciation of the importance of securing their identity and citizenship. This is in particular with regard to them obtaining their IDs at the age of 16. So birth registration for the category of 0 to 30 days was at 556,762 births, and then of these who were registered, this was as against the previous year of 500,000. That was 51% of those who were born within 30 days registered. And then of course we had the issue of the IDs, again here the target mainly focusing on the first issue, the 16-year-olds and people never had IDs before. And here there has been a 10% growth in the issuance of IDs with 2.2 million of the IDs that were issued. If you compare that with the first as well as the three issues combined, that it came to 2.2 million. And then of course the sound basis was laid in the transformation of the department as an organization in terms of security as well as service delivery, including the building of support functions in the service delivery area. As well indicated previously, we never had director finance and support, but it's something that was introduced for the first time to writing for support functions. But also the security and modernization of critical information systems that continues today. Governance and management systems and structures and were strengthened, especially in relation to provinces. One of the key results was that was achieved was that of the first unqualified audit in 15 years. And that was for the financial year 2010-11. And then more generally, there has been really a further implementation of the model of empowering all managers to manage while holding them accountable. In other words, decentralization and delegation to the lowest level to ensure that decision-making, accountability, and turnaround times are improved because managers are empowered through the decentralization concept. Further, a key thrust has been also to develop and implement the concept of a cadre for DHA officials. In other words, to transform the culture in the way people behave and conduct themselves, but also in terms of their attitude towards the country and their work, by creating a sense of patriotism, professionalism, and the duty to care enough to act. In this regard, then, an important pilot project was initiated where we recruited and trained the new cohort of immigration officers sourced from the South African National Defense Force to staff our biggest and busiest international airport, and that is the OR Tambo. Amendments made to key civil and immigration acts where the president was able to even accept them, and that is to help us address the gaps in legislation. Improvements were also recorded within the immigration environment through the approval of the new permitting structure as well as implementation of the permitting project, resulting in enhanced security and the reduction of backlogs that have been a problem. A settlement agreement was reached with the Kizuna on 6 March 2011. In terms of the settlement agreement, a technical agreement had to be concluded, which was then done by the 15th of June 2012. We are in the process now of finalizing subcontracting process so that then we can be able to implement the modernization project in its full scope. The main essence to share is that also then we had a problem with the issue of the refugee reception center in Nike and Cape Town, and this matter has been reported before. Just to emphasize that during the reporting period, this was not necessarily done by the will of the department, and we would like to emphasize that point, that this was done only due to the actions of the landlord, who said that the access road can no longer be access road, but is a stopping road in a nutshell. So they stopped us from that, therefore we couldn't reach the offices in order to continue rendering the services. The matter is currently sub judice, and therefore we believe that the portfolio committee will be kept informed of development in due course. On transformation matters then of the department, we looked at the enhancement of the leadership capacity, which continued with a further three leadership forums. These forums are mainly where we get almost all managers of the department to participate, and then we are taken through either through specialists who then come with their capabilities on how to lead and how to strengthen leadership behaviors and attributes. So this is a leadership forum where all of us in unison are given an opportunity to then focus on our leadership skills and sharpen them. So three leadership forums taking place during the 2011-12 financial year. And then of course in our quest to create a cadre of officials who are committed, humble, disciplined, security conscious, patriotic and people-centered, a cadreship framework was also developed and rolled out to all provinces and branches. The framework here captures the values and attributes that we want
the data official to espouse and to display, both in conduct and in words. The ambassador program then is linked to this leadership framework, which then was launched to further support the organizational intervention in transforming the department. But also then the performance culture has been really given greater consideration, and in that essence, enhanced organizational effectiveness. Performance agreements have been aligned to the strategy of the department. All activities within performance agreements have been linked to the broader organizational goals. Performance agreements contracting has improved to 94% of the staff compliance from 62.6% the previous year. Interventions have been also put in place in order to improve management of leave as well as work attendance to support enhanced delivery and reduce related costs. But also disability strategy has been developed and is in the process of being implemented to move away towards the achievement of the target of 2%. This is demonstrated then in terms of our HR matters as we indicate them. Around the issue of the vacant post, as of the end of June, if we compare year on year, the department committee will target 1,118 posts as priority, and the total posts that were filled, why out of that 1,118 was at 975. And then for 2012, we have again targeted 1,309 vacant posts as priority posts, of which currently we had 50% filled. However, we must just emphasize here that the reason for it is that we had and we targeted that we will fill the posts for a period of 9 months, not that we, people were going to start 1st of April. But also that we have also then looked at some challenges that we have around the volumes of applications we receive. We are currently receiving almost, just for cleaners, if you apply, just say that the cleaning services, you want one person, you will receive more than 3,000. And those are people with various qualifications up to a level of highest possible degree seeking employment in the department. So the issue of response handling, our capacity to deal with the volumes we are receiving. In Gauteng alone, we advertised 2 posts, and out of those 2 posts, they were receiving more than 6,000 applications. Now that requires the department to really look at the way in which we're going to manage the way we receive the posts, record them, do sifting, then do pre-shortlisting before we can even go to shortlisting and interview processes. But we have agreed that we are going to look at the mechanisms to deal with the response handling, because the attrition rate seems to be very high now of people who apply for posts in the department. The status report then in relation to the branch by branch, as indicated there, the priority posts in 11-12 were 818, of which 749 were filled. This year we have targeted 567 for civil services. We still to fill them to date. And then of course communication services, the breakdown, this is just in total the breakdown of comparing the posts between 11-12 as vis-a-vis 12-13. And that is why then we're looking at the total funded post, the target 1,118, filled 975. And then for this financial year, we have set aside 1,309 posts. To date, we have filled that 50. So we are working on making sure that we get this post filled also as a matter of agency. Of course, then the breakdown in terms of equity or employment in relation to filling of the posts. That is just in overall number of appointments, 1,116 applicants, which is 97%. Number of appointments in 2012, 66, and pay rate is 95%. Now if we look at the colors, 28%, and then the percent of, 28 people appointed, and then of course that contributes to 2.3% Indian, people of Indian origin is 3, which is 0.25, white 4, which is 0.33. So in other words, that is the just equity per race profile. And then of course with the current financial year at 69, we have the breakdown of blacks being 95%, and then of course Indians at 1.4, and then the whites at 2.9%. And in terms of the employment equity on gender and disability, as of the end of June 2012, and if we look at the target and vis-a-vis the level at the organization, we are at a target of 79, we're at 92 for Africans. For colors at 8.9, we're at 5.27. And then for Indians at 2.5, we're at 0.6. For the white cohort at 9.6, target, we are at only at 1.9%. On the issue of gender, male and female, while we have it's a 53% vis-a-vis the 47, we have at an organizational level 59% female colleagues vis-a-vis 40%, and this at the SMS level, unfortunately the trend is reversed at 49.2% as against 50.7%. But again, the department is working hard to ensure that the 50-50% target is met, and hence if we look at the post for the provincial managers recently advertised, again it clearly stated that we are targeting female colleagues at that level. Disability target of 2%, as indicated previously, we are still at 0.5%. Although efforts have been made here to try and address this issue, we now have received the database from Department of Labor throughout the country for all the 9 provinces for people with disabilities. But also we have approached and getting support from DPSA, from their database, to ensure that at the end of the day we really have a head-hunting exercise to address the problem of disability. Then reporting now exactly against the targets. We have here the main issue was the birth registration as the only entry point for South Africans to the National Population Register. Our target for quarter one was that we're projecting the increase at the end of the year to be 6%. In other words, we are hoping that of total births, we should be having 594,000 births registered. Now, we then broke this down per quarter, depending on the spikes that normally when we looked at the trends and working with the state SA, looking at those trends to say usually in this quarter that is where the peak is. So we broke down this by quarter. So 142,358 was projected for the quarter under review, and that was translating to 24%. And that we've been able to achieve because 152,000 births were restarted within 30 days. And that is in fact 26%, and therefore 2% as against the plan target of 24 for this quarter. And then in terms of the health institutions, this is the vehicle identified to assist us to register beds within 30 days as much as possible. So for the year, we have a target of 80 additional health institutions that we believe we must have them connected and be able to register beds in the hospital. So for the quarter, we brought it down to 19 institutions with an operational online birth registration. Unfortunately, this is partially achieved as we only had 8 of these that were connected, and they are broken down there as Mossel Bay, Christiana, Parkland, Garden City, Malvern, Bethesda, and First, and Dr. Patudi. Now the challenge is there was that fortunately, working with Department of Health, we've been able to get office space for the health institutions there, but the only challenge was that we had to deal with the audit process, and in that there was a time when we couldn't just release IT equipment to be installed in those places. So we are on course to reach this target. In some instances, of course, then as in one of the provinces, we had negotiated with the hospital, but when it was time to go and implement, and then they told us no, the space is no longer available, and we have to go to another hospital to renegotiate. But we believe here the way forward will assist us. Once these assets are done now, we are hoping that we should be able to roll out as quickly as possible and still be back with the target of 19. Also, we then move this target to the next quarter so that we still don't lose them. Stakeholder forums, we planned that 15 stakeholder forums will be launched and be functional. That was for the 7 provincial and 3 metro. For the breakdown of this quarter was that we'll have 3. For this, we eventually had targeted that Limpopo stakeholder forum, Eastern Cape, as well as Southern Swane metro will be launched. We launched only 4, and the ones that were targeted, unfortunately, we couldn't, because there were some challenges around those areas. So what happened was that we are saying this is partially achieved as 4 stakeholder forums were launched and 1 revised. The ones that were launched was in Gauteng, the Tswane Metro, in Western Cape was in Frederick Valley, a local municipality, Preston in Mangaung, in Northern Cape, Karreebeeg, and then we revived the one of Marikama in Western Cape. Now the target, although the target is not achieved yet, there were challenges really around the date to launch for Limpopo, but these dates have been now set for the second week of September. So we are hoping that we will be able to launch both Limpopo and Mpumalanga in the second week of September. The late registration of PEP, where the target was to ensure that all of them, 31 days and above, are finalized within 6 months. And remember that, Honorable Chair, when we changed the law, was that then any PEP outside of 30 days is now regarded as a late registration of PEP, so that people get a message clearly. So when we say 95%, we mean any child who is registered with 31 days, whether then it's 15 years, but the firm is that then it's regarded as late. However, in terms of our systems currently, if you are still within 31 days to 15 years, we have not yet implemented the new measure. So we still register based on the spot, and that's why we think that one is realized at 100%, registered within 6 months. Then those who are and we give pickers there 125,967 that were same day registration. However, those who are still operating in the outside in the old methodology of LFB 15 years and above, we registered 18,433 out of 23,000 applications that were received, and that translates to 77% finalized within 6 months. The challenges have been mainly about tracing of applicants and incomplete application forms that we receive, but also the delay in the verification of fingerprints. When fingerprints are sent to an office or find that they are of poor quality, and then you have to send them back so that you get them recaptured. Then of course provinces will continue to intensify the mop-up for these 15 years and above. The conference, to ensure that the registration at birth is the only entry point. One of the key things is that South Africa is hosting the second civil registration conference for many African ministers. This conference will be taking place next week in Durban at ICC. So this conference progress there is just that it is really on track. We believe that we are ready. The conference takes place from the 3rd to the 5th will be expected, as well as generally the international officials, high-level officials from all the 54 African countries that we believe will be participating. And then from the 6th to the 7th will then be the African ministers who deal with civil registration, as well as those who deal with vital statistics, like those who deal with planning. So this one is on track. It is starting, comes the 3rd of September, which is next week, literally. And then 100% of African learners having their IDs. The target here is to issue their IDs to citizens 16 years and above. Here we are saying the intention is to make sure that all South African learners, by the time they write matric or they register for their matric, they already have their IDs, so that no child suffers when it is time for that. This was raised as a strategic issue, so that no child is unable to register at a university no child is unable to get the bursary, if there is such a bursary available to him or him, just because he doesn't have an ID. A total, we say not achieved, because at this stage we had a total of 41,514 IDs that we issued for all the learners who are 16 years and above, and we continue to go and visit the schools. The submission really here for us to reconcile, because 100% means we must be able to say every application taken at the time is finalized. So during the quarter under review, I think that is not achieved based on the fact that we did 41,514, and then challenges were just the list from the schools as well as the patching methodology that we are strengthening with our provinces. However, to make things much easier now, we have also created an IT system, and that is called the Function 300, which we'll be implementing, and we are believing that that will assist us to monitor that every school is now recorded. We can see when we go there that against the school how many applications are collected, are they all IDs. Objective to issue ID documents to 16-year-olds, then we're saying here 5% increase on the issuance of ID documents to the 16-year-olds. A project number of 305,000 was achieved for this quarter, which is 25% per quarter. We did 304,967, which is 24.95%. Those who did the fractions, the round it off, it is 25%. Of course, then the issue of registration and identification of all South African citizens, foreign residents, refugee, asylum seekers. Our annual target here was about the new national identity system designed, which includes details of South African citizens and foreign nationals. For quarter one, the intention was to have the project team appointed as well as the needs analysis developed. This has been achieved. We just indicate that further progress was that the definitive agreement that we mentioned earlier was signed at the end of June, and therefore then we believe we are on track with our modernization. Of course, to then also target of 40 offices with live capture. Part of modernization is that live capture functionality for passports and IDs will be rolled out to 167 offices. Again, here we needed to finalize the needs analysis and make sure that the project team is appointed. And of course, this has been done, and therefore the report is just the same as the previous target. So we are on track with that one. ID Smart Card, we're indicating here that we intended to roll this out as a pilot with 2,000 cards. And then we said for the first quarter we'll issue 1,000 ID Smart Cards so that then we can do the testing of the functionality of the card. However, we are saying not achieved, but not because we intend to go again and utilize the 1,000. Is that after we had done the 28 with the senior managers, we then developed the testing criteria, whether you use and you wash it in the washing machine or you are using this card in terms of breaking it and trying to put it in the sun exposure to heat. What we then discovered was that we engaged with the CSIR, who then agreed that rather than doing that, because the material have long been tested, it is an international use material we are using in our passport, they felt that that will be just a waste of time and money if we continue to issue this 1,000 card unnecessarily. What they need to do now is to test the card through electronic means. So the target was a bit then changed to focus now using electronic stress testing of the card as well as the reading of the card using various card readers. So that is where we are with the CSIR, to make sure that the card is tested, so there will no longer be a need to continue issuing those 1,000 cards for the purposes of testing internally. And then the EDMS, that is Electronic Document Management System, resuscitated. Here we were planning just to decommission that as well as to recommission. The EDMS is where we've got a lot of records that we, as a department, we use, which were transformed from paper to electronic. They help us to finalize unabridged certificates, duplicates, amendments, rectification. So it's one of the critical systems for the department. But because it had problems of functionality, we had to decommission it, and working with staff, we are believing that we are on track now. Because we did that decommissioning, we have done the recommissioning. At this stage now, they are busy with the retrieval of data. So this one has been done. The e-permitting and visa system design, this order we're challenging user requirements drafted and submitted for approval. This has not yet been achieved. The basic need for this e-permitting and visa system is really to modernize the updated system of what we are using now. We know that we're dealing with permitting labels that you have to stick. So if we can have electronic systems, we believe we should be able to achieve that. So the plan is to implement an e-permitting, which will include automation of the permitting processes. We'll also then ensure that applications are accepted and captured in real time, sent to head office for adjudication online, finalized and feedback sent to the front offices online. Then the plan is also to be piloted at the three high-volume regional offices, Johannesburg, Cape Town, as well as Durban. The time frame set for this testing is that the pilot should be completed by the 31st of March 2013. The Trusted Traveller traveler program piloted at land port of entry in Maseru Bridge. The target for this order was project charter and plan approved. This has been done. The charter is in place. The project plan also is in place. The issue of the remaining 25 ports of entry in the enhanced movement control system, project charter and the plan approved for this order. This has been done. Reported as achieved. We are on track to further roll out the enhanced movement control system. This is the same issue around then a pilot program conducted for rollout of biometric technology. In other words, putting the fingerprinting as well as facial recognition solutions at OR Tambo. The plan is in place and the charter has been approved to implement this project. This then will guide our relationship with staff and the required user requirements to develop and implement the system once the charter is in place now. And then on the issue of the duplicate, Honorable Chair, we made a presentation with the Director General, but it's just to highlight here what it is on our strike plan to ensure that we don't have this problem going forward. And therefore then we're working on it on a daily basis. So our target was that we would at least have 9,500, which is 25% of duplicate cases resolved for this quarter. Unfortunately, we had only 937 applications resolved, and for us to achieve this resolution of this, then we had the CC that was developed, we had a publication, we're working with various institutions to trace the applicants and make sure that we are able to resolve the existing duplicates if they are real. Our challenge is just that the clients are neither responding, even when we use our call center to phone them, those who have got their information, or they submit incomplete documents. When this presentation was made, we just have that challenge, but we'll continue using the CT and all of the home visits. The duplicate of people who have too many IDs, one person, multiple IDs. We are targeted that for this quarter will resolve 10,375, which is 25%. Again, here we were able to do 70%, 7,215, and that's why we're saying not achieved. We should be saying maybe partially achieved, or 70% means some work was done. But each other, this is not at 100%, but 70% was resolved. And then again, here it's just challenges where when we think clients can come forward, we need your support, can you give us the following documents, they take their time to respond. Anyway, this category is a category where people do not have really problems because they can go on with their lives. It's just that in terms of the law, you can only have one IT number, not multiple ITs. And the reported duplicates, we resolved when the target is that we should be able to resolve duplicate cases within 12 weeks from the date of capturing. and therefore we resolved 1,879, of which the people were sharing only 217, but people with multiple IT numbers was 1,662. The challenges, they remain the same, and then of course the way forward is just for us to have capacity and train our officers and also in resolving duplicate. One person, multiple IT numbers, as well as look at the filing system called loop function, so that we are able to retrieve information quicker. The targets that we outlined before now are mainly talking to the immigration outcome. So on immigration, the first target was that immigration policy document by end of this financial year will be gazetted after public consultation. Target for this quarter was that we will have immigration policy discussion paper submitted to EMC for approval. This has been done, it has been submitted, the draft was submitted to the minister as well as the immigration advisory board and EXCO. So the draft policy is in place. And then the second target in immigration was to deal with visa facilitation service implemented at 6 foreign missions. The court, for this quarter then we're saying we will do process mapping for Angola mission. This has been done and the process notes have been signed with the service provider to make sure that we start with the piloting of this project and see how we can best implement it in the foreign mission. And then of course another target was that of the implement effective, efficient asylum seeker and refugee strategy and then systems. Now, for this year, is that we'll have status determination committee with subcommittees established in each of the existing refugee reception centers. So we then said we'll develop a criteria for SDC members and case workers developed and approved. This has not yet been achieved. However, because the criteria for the SDC members have not been finalized, regulations to the amended Refugees Act to define the composition of the SDC members, those regulations are also not yet finalized. So the challenges have been refugee regulations not finalized, and then the impact on the status determination committees being established. Way forward is to frustrate the adoption of the regulations to enable the definition and recruitment of members of the status determination committee, so that is an efficient and effective implementation of the Act is implemented. The next target then was in relation to implementing an efficient seeker. We were targeting that framework, including the strategy, as well as the plan will be developed for the relocation of existing refugee reception along the borderline. The status quo analysis, we plan to do that so that you look at the challenges that we are likely to encounter. What then has been done is that this situation analysis has been done and we believe that has been achieved. And then quarter one target, again here was one refugee reception office established in Libombo. The target is that proposed office model layout plan prepared based on the SAM, Asylum Seeker Management Business Processes. That has been done, and proposed office model layout has been developed and based on the business processes and proposed organogram has finalized. And then in relation to facilitate the effective movement of bona fide travelers to support national interests, and the target here for this year is to improve the residential and office infrastructure provided at 6 ports of entry. And namely, that is Maseru, Beitbridge, Oshoek, Libombo, Cape Town, as well as Durban Harbour, according to set standards. We plan to do that for the quarter under review, we'll develop a charter as well as a plan. This has been done and it has been achieved. Then to contribute towards the realization of the positive skills migration trend of around 50,000 immigrants annually, that year we'll have permitting processes redesigned to facilitate the attraction as well as the retention of foreign migrants with the critical skills. Standard operating procedures for processing of critical skills applications will be revised and approved. This has not yet been achieved. And the general treaty, intra-company as well as corporate payments do have staff skills, but the track and trace system is unable to indicate such skills there for the purpose of reporting in order to achieve the objective of practicing staff skills. The system cannot delineate between these occupational categories. So the new SOPs will be introduced once the system improvements are achieved, so the track and trace, when you're having a particular function, it can pick up that this is a different, what type of a permit is this one. Way forward, we will then enhance track and trace system in order to delineate the different type of payments and be able to render report accordingly. And still under the target of the 50,000 migrants annually, strategy developed and approved to facilitate the attraction of retention of foreign migrants with task force. The target was that for quarter one, we will have input drafted for draft strategy on matters relating to management of migrants with care skills linked or aligned to immigration policy currently under review. This has not been achieved. However, consultations with stakeholders are not yet completed. Therefore, no strategy to market South Africa as a country of destination for people with care skills and critical skills. Way forward is that we need to fast track the consultation process with various key stakeholders in order to provide inputs on the immigration policy. In that way, we should be able to have a strategy informed by policy. The last outcome is the one of a service that is efficient, accessible, and corruption-free. Transform culture of the organization in support of securing identity, citizenship, and international migration. The target for the year is strategy developed and approved to reposition the department as a learning organization. And that quarter one, two stakeholder engagement workshops conducted with the DMC and other relevant external stakeholders. This has not been achieved. The target was moved to the second quarter due to operational priorities. The coaching clinics for 250 supervisors in the department conducted. The plan was that for this quarter we'll have trainers and subject matter experts identified and coaching workshops conducted. And what we did here was that this has been achieved, 105 managers and supervisors coached, 13 executives, that is level 13 and above, they have individual coaching. 92 team members have been coached through the process called team coaching. Still with the culture change, is that 100 managers will be enrolled and trained in outbound management and leadership development programs to enhance their capacity to lead. These 100 managers then will be enrolled and trained in block one of outbound management as well as leadership development programs. This has been achieved. 23 senior managers are enrolled in senior management development program and are trained in block one and block two. 30 middle managers enrolled in middle management, as well as 40 junior managers are enrolled in new management development program, and 49 junior managers have completed the new management development program. This translates to 142 enrolled and trained and officials undergoing training, which is 42 more than the 100 that was targeted. And then in terms of the transform the culture, it was a cadet program designed, developed, and approved. Benchmarking will be conducted in this quarter under review with three institutions. Concept paper for cadet program developed. This has been done. Now, moving to the issue of ethical conduct and zero tolerance approach to corruption, the target was that for under BMD, which is birth, marriages and death, as well as permitting processes approved and verified. Four critical processes, security evaluated to identify the security gaps and report issued. Here, the target was that we'll have security evaluations performed on processes at missions. This has not yet been achieved. Process evaluation analyses were conducted at 9 missions in 6 countries. The challenge was that the reports could not be finalized in quarter 1 due to outstanding information from missions, and we are following up. The reports will be finalized once this information is received. Again, still under ethical conduct and zero tolerance approach, we also plan that this year we'll have a database accessible to 2 JCPS cluster departments to strengthen counter-corruption within the JCPS cluster. Our role here is to have readiness for interfaces with the JCPS departments. This has not yet been achieved. Several consultations have been held with internal stakeholders in terms of the design of an integrated database. Discussions with the JCPS partners is taking longer than expected. And therefore then, we believe the way forward will be that we'll conclude discussions with the 2 JCPS partners to enable interfaces to be implemented. Again, on ethical conduct and zero tolerance approach, another target here was policy and legal framework to reposition departments, benchmarking with JCPS cluster departments locally. This has not yet been done or finalized. A desktop research process was undertaken, but it's not yet concluded. There were capacity constraints that we had in order to go and conduct this benchmarking exercise. However, the 2 researchers have been appointed now, and we will take the process forward. It is anticipated that we should be able to have that research proposal and benchmarking be finalized by end of the quarter 2. Misconduct cases, 100% of the new misconduct cases finalized within 60 days is our target. A total of 16 new cases were received. 49 cases were carried over from the last quarter. So we had a total of 65 cases, which was the target for quarter 1. Of these, 41 cases were finalized within 60 days. And this translates to 63%. The challenge is, we had a problem with the availability of witnesses who are not necessarily departmental but need to come and be witnesses in the disciplinary hearing. Lack of sufficient evidence. Sometimes where you think you will have a case at the end of the day, evidence is wanting and you cannot proceed with the case, or the case then needs to be given more time for investigators to gather that evidence. In 2 instances, officials then were not available, and chairpersons in some instances failing to submit reports on time. The way forward is that we will be meeting with all the trained chairpersons to address the challenges, and then have weekly meetings on prior arrangements with the Audit Action Committee on Mondays after the EXCO to look at how best we can achieve the 100% within 60 days. But at this stage, not yet achieved. To obtain the clean audit, trading account established for all civic and immigration income generated products. Our targets for quarter 1 are divided into 3. Systems in place for recording of collected revenue. 2, establish governance structures with regard to trading account. And 3, opening of separate bank accounts for each office that generates revenue. Remember that there was an approval by National Treasury that we will have this trading account where all money we collect goes to the account of the department. Therefore, then we have achieved this. All this have been done. So we are having the trading account effectively operational. To ensure secure, efficient, and accessible services, the target was about access strategy developed and approved to bring DHA services closer to the people. Here, the intention for this quarter under review, consultations with users and relevant stakeholders such as Human Sciences Research Council and CSIR reports reviewed. This has not yet been achieved. Consultation has taken place with CSIR and DPSA regarding the interim funding of the accessibility studies that have been undertaken in Echegweni and Johannesburg municipalities. but the SSI report has not yet been reviewed. There was a dependency on availability of CSIR and the DPSA team. Going forward, we believe that we will continue with our consultations with SSIR and DPSA concerning the recommendations of the final report, which they promised would be available by possibly end of September around Echegwini as well as Johannesburg Metro. This is really to try and transform the concept of distance and time, so that people, whether they are traveling by car or they are traveling by bus, the main thing should be how far from place of residence should an office of Home Affairs be. So that is the exercise that we are doing with the other departments, as we have mentioned earlier. So we are hoping that we should be able to have that outcome, because they were looking at different areas, both rural as well as metro area, to say if you are in town, like in Etowah or Johannesburg, how quick do you get to service? Because the standards we have were initially in the old study. We're just talking about within 30 minutes, but this was not clear. What do you mean? Is it within 50 kilometers? You can't build an office based on 30 minutes, but you can do that based on a distance. So the issue was how much traveling. So we are busy with that conversion of the time to concrete kilometers. Then we can be able to measure accessibility of services. And then the quota vacant posts filled within 3 months on average. This has not been achieved. The average turnaround time currently is on 5 months, maintained on the filling of posts. 5th of the 1,039 posts filled within 3 months, that is only 3.8% of posts filled. The challenges have been the delay in the identification of vacant funded posts and appointment of recruitment service provider, as well as an availability of suitable candidates resulting in headhunting, significant delay in approval of submissions for certain posts, capacity in HR to manage the volume of applications concerning the turnaround time and the volumes received. The way forward has been that currently the decentralization of the HR delegation and functions has been undertaken, but also the media planning to support the recruitment process, as well as the HR provisioning plan to be concluded by end of February of each financial year. In that way, we can plan in advance come the 1st of February how we're going to fill the post and meet the turnaround time as we have said. And then, of course, the issue of the secure, effective, efficient access to services. The target here now is just about the turnaround time for the clients as captured in the estimates of national expenditure, where we commit the turnaround times of services. 95% of IDs issued within 54 days for the first applicants, the 16-year-olds. We think this has been achieved. We, in fact, issued 288,099 IDs as first issues within 54 days, and only 16,868 were issued outside of 16 days. We use here the measure of track and trace, and this is 94.5%, and that's why we say it is achieved. The reissues is people who are applying for the second time or third time for their IDs. Therefore, the turnaround times are shorter because fingerprints are already on the system. We normally use online verification and then be easy to have this achieved in a shorter time. And that's why it's 47 as compared to first issues of 54. 215,046 ID reissues were issued within 47 days, and then 5,773 IDs were issued above 47 days. This simply translates to 2.4% above the targeted time. And this, we are sure, we are issuing IDs on time currently. And then, of course, passports, the turnaround time for machine readable passports issued manually is that you must issue them within 24 days. 81,000 machine-readable passports manually were issued within 24 days. This translates to 93.2%. The challenge is even where we couldn't get to that 95% was mainly based on the fact that sometimes there are power outages, and therefore then that delays in terms of the processing. Piloting of the smart card, there was a time when there was a request by GPW to say they will focus just on the systems reward engineering while we are looking at the piloting. But that has been done because we don't have any backlog around passports. But of course, then also the challenge is where sometimes some offices will default and take their time to capture. And therefore, then we believe we can continue with the refresher training just to continue conscientize people. But it was at 93%. Of course, the ones issued then applications through live capture, the target is 97% issued within 13 days. Here we achieved 85% of those issued within 13 days, the total of which is 36,000, and only 6,000 were outside of the 13 days. Permanent residents, 60% of them issued within 8 months. This has not been realized. The focus was mainly on finalizing applications for temporary residents. The Director General reported on this at length in the last briefing session. So that was aimed in order to ensure that applicants remain legal in the country and that services such as salary payments and bank accounts were not frozen for people. But there is a project to clear the backlog of the permanent residence cases, which is currently underway. Then 50% of temporary resident permits issued within 8 weeks. This has been achieved, and in fact it is 16% more. 66% of applications of temporary residence, that includes work, business, corporate, were issued within the 8 weeks period. The challenges going forward, the announcement that the DHA must play a leading role in establishing and managing the border management agency will enable the DHA and its partners to ensure a secure and efficient flow of people and goods through all the ports of entry, as well as implement the risk-based system. But also that the recent audit of the DHA has revealed that we do have a number of targets which needs to be improved, but that will not necessarily change the strategic intent. But for us to be able to report accurately against the target, there are a number of targets that we have realized that are not crafted in a manner that aligns to the principle that is called the SMART principle. And with that engagement with the auditors, such targets depend more for the achievement on factors outside the control of the department. So we intend to revise these targets in the manner in which they are formulated and keep the portfolio committee fully informed around those. But also that a specific area of concern that must be addressed is the continued dependence on the Department of Public Work that is blocking progress of key initiatives such as improving port infrastructure at the ports of entry. This is despite the budget being allocated after the minister's intervention, but we still have not had this of infrastructure and initiatives undertaken. But also that the management of asylum seekers and refugees, as well as the modernization of the department systems, as critical areas which will receive focused attention, as well as the education issues in general. The hosting of the 2013 AFCON Cup, which may have budgetary implications, the provision of the bandwidth by CETA, but I think Mr. Makau, DDG for IS, will talk to that when presenting on the issue of IS, because there is some progress around this area due to the partnership with the OCD and Telecom. Way forward, the finalization of the immigration policy, implementation of the modernization program of the department, continue with the transformation of the department, both in terms of culture and conduct, but also a revision of annual targets for 2012-13 in respect of getting proper audit evidence and ensuring strict compliance with the SMART principle. Thank you very much, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members. May I request, Chair, that maybe the CFO presents then in terms of the budget, the expenditure for the quarter.
Thank you, Honourable Members. Chair. The presentation will be shorter than the previous one. Mostly the presentation will just deal with the numbers and few challenges that we are experiencing in terms of achieving the projected expenditure that we needed to achieve. I will look at the budget versus actual for our vote. We will then look at the quarter one, how are we spending per program, and we'll also look at the spending per economic classification, and we'll look at the challenges. And then we'll also update the committee in terms of the decentralization of the finance function. And then we'll also look at the revenue management. And we thought it's a good idea to just share with the committee what are the infrastructure projects that we're dealing with. So if we look at the budget that was allocated to Home Affairs, we allocated 5.2 billion, and that was allocated to three programs. Administration, it was 1.7 billion. Citizen Affairs, it was 3 billion. Immigration Affairs, it was 545 million. Out of that, for quarter one, we spent 1.094 billion, and we've got available funds of 4.2. This equates to 20.7% spending. If we compare last year quarter one and this year's quarter one, last year we spent 28.7% of our budget. This year we only spent 20.7%. And this is mainly the reasons for the slight decline is based on the fact that last year we were allocated 548 million that we needed to pay Kijima in the first quarter of the financial year, and this year that expenditure is not there, so that's why there's a decline in our expenditure this year. Also, there are a number of expenditure that were deferred in 10-11 that were only paid in 11-12. This is due to invoices that were received after year-end, which couldn't be settled before year-end. Also, the other issue is that the Kijima definitive agreement, as Mr. Mkhize mentioned, it has only been signed in the first quarter. So majority of the expenses will come through in the second quarter when the subcontract agreements have been signed with the different service providers. So normally, if we look at linear projection, we should have spent 25% of our budget for the 3 months, but we've only spent 20.7, and the reasons are as I've mentioned. The next three slides or so is just to compare in terms of different programs. So we've got three programs. If we look at administration, this is where ministry falls under the DG's office, and all the chief directorates that report to the DG falls under corporate services and the transversal information technology management and office accommodation. So if we look, majority of the sub-programs, they've spent at least more than 15% of their budget, or close to the 20%, with transversal information technology management being the lowest, followed by office accommodation. So the reason mainly for the transversal information technology management is the fact that the definitive agreement with Kijima was not signed. Now that it's signed, we will see the spending improving in that area. Office accommodation, this is where the leasing expenditure comes in, where the rates and taxes come in, and the improvements to our building comes in. We get billed by Public Works on a quarterly basis for state-owned buildings, and also for private leases, we get the billing comes a month after. So that's why there will be spending in the first quarter.
relating to housing accommodation. If we look at citizen affairs, also they've spent up to the dot of the 25%, so they are doing very well in terms of spending the money that's allocated to them. In line, obviously, with the, I think it shows the performance of what Mr. Mkize has presented. It is in line with the budget from where we are sitting. So if we look at the provinces, majority of the provinces have spent almost 20% of their budget, with the exception of few who spent like 18% or so. And mainly that is due to the fact that we've decentralized the functions now. They are doing their own payments, but obviously they need to get used to making those payments or spending the money as allocated. Government printing works, normally they request all their money beginning of the financial year. That's why the 100%. If we look at immigration, they have spent 22.9% of their budget, and we think it's closely linked to the linear projection. If we look at the spending per economy classification, in terms of compensation of employees, we spent 20% of their budget. Mr. Mkize has mentioned that we budgeted that some of the positions will only fill them from 1st of July. Of the financial year instead of filling them from the beginning of the financial year. So it explains the 5% difference in compensation of employees. And also we've seen from the report that filling positions is quite a long process, more than 5 months to fill a position. So that's why then the low spending. In terms of goods and services, we spent 14.2% of our budget. That's a bit worrying, but then we've done some analysis to just say why the 14.2%. And mainly, as I've already mentioned, the issue around the DHA modernization, where we haven't spent a lot, and the office accommodation gave some effect to why we haven't spent the desired 25%. Transfers and subsidies sitting at 35.6%. Payment for capital assets, that's where people buy the furniture and all those things. Members will know that we've moved to a new office building. Majority of people would have purchased their assets in the first quarter of the financial year. Payments for financial assets, the 53 million there is reserved for the unauthorized expenditure that was not approved by SCOPA, which then Treasurer will take that money from our budget. Some challenges that we are having, we've realized that we are not making all our payments within 30 days, and obviously that also affects your spending, because your spending relates to when you make the payments to the supplier. And we've taken steps in order to deal with this issue. We have identified gaps in the payment cycle. We've also identified nodal points for the entry where all invoices will be submitted. We've also identified time frames and turnaround time for each step in the payment process and identify who are the responsible people. We've also done an exercise where we have updated the banking details of our existing suppliers, and we've started with the process of preparing creditors' reconciliation. Also, we've realized that sometimes the system that we are using, it doesn't give you the correct information in terms of how many payments have been made within 30 days, and we've now developed our own spreadsheet which we load each and every invoice that comes in, we load it into that spreadsheet. It then sort of like calculates the times from different when the invoice is moving from one person to another, it calculates the time that it was with that person. So this issue, we believe that it will improve in the next quarter. We'll be able to even talk numbers in terms of the percentage of payments that we have made within 30 days. Mr. Mkhize has already mentioned the issue of the budget for the border infrastructure, which was allocated or appropriated to Department of Public Works, but for our purpose, the 400 million over the MTS period, we are really battling to spend this money. In terms of the harbors, we've already found the spaces specifically for Cape Town. We've got an area where we need to improve that place through the National Port Authorities, but we are struggling just to start working on that place and then have an office in Cape Town Harbour. So this is something that we are dealing with the Department of Public Works, continuous engagement with them, because the mandate lies with them how we spend the infrastructure budget. If we can then look at the update on the decentralization, we have now decentralized the procurement and payment function to the provinces. So all 9 provinces can do their own purchases up to 500,000, and also then what about 500,000 in terms of the treasury regulation is needs to go through the bid adjudication committee, which is centralized within head office. And also they are making their own payments up to back, and they're making all their payments at the provinces. In the next quarter, in quarter two, we plan to decentralize the selected payroll functions to provinces like updating of banking details and some few issues relating to payroll that we are going to decentralize. For this decentralization to work, we have each and every, there's a director of finance, but that director of finance didn't have any support staff under them. So we on the reprioritization of positions, we've now allocated deputy directors, finance and the supply chain, and we've also allocated deputy director for HR. If we look at revenue, Mr. Mkhize in his presentation, he has mentioned that the National Treasury approved or granted the Department of Home Affairs approval to operate a trading account for all civic and immigration related revenue. And for this purpose, the trading account is to ensure that the revenue generated by the civics and immigration services is sufficient to cover the expenditure related to producing the face value documentation, specifically passports. So in our budget, we haven't been allocated any money for the production of passports. Instead, we are using the money that we generate from the revenue of passports to cover those expenses. So the expenditure from this revenue will be to cover the face value documentation, the application forms and deposit books. For the 3 months from April, May and June, we've collected in the first month we collected around 31 million. In the next month we collected around 33 million. In June we collected around 33 million also. So all in all, we're looking at around 90 million of revenue that we have collected for all revenue, basically. The revenue above excludes revenue from the revenue that has been collected by the Department of International Relations and Cooperation, and also the revenue from fines for overstayers and penalties for conveyance. The system for these transactions have been reviewed to ensure that there's integration in the financial system to the trading account. The trading account will operate on a core basis of accounting, which means that the transaction will be captured when the transaction occurs versus when the payment is received, which is the cash basis of accounting. So by the end of this financial year, we're going to have two separate financial statements, the one for the vault and also the one for the trading account, because we cannot mix the two because they use different accounting systems. If we look at the offices that we are going to refurbish during the current financial year, there are 17 offices, and you members will realize that there is nothing for Limpopo. It's because Limpopo last year they were allocated around 4 million to refurbish 11 offices. So they are just finishing some of those offices, including the office in Bochum where the stakeholder forum for Limpopo will be launched. And then there are 8 offices where or areas where we're going to open offices where we didn't have offices, and now we're going to open in those areas. As Mr. Mkiza has mentioned, we are looking at a bigger picture where we are saying what is the distance in the current offices that we have as compared to the envisaged, what we envisage to have in the future. So in line with that, once we get the results of that study, we will then relook at some of the offices that will be open going forward. That's the end of the presentation. Thank you very much.
Thank you, CFO. Honourable members, that was the PDG as well as the CFO. Quite a number of issues was raised. I'm sure members have questions and comments to make. May I note you, Honourable Director, Honourable Mosel, in that one.
Thank you, Chair. I have a few questions. I'll go through the presentation quickly. The first presentation, thank you very much. The figure of 50,000 migrants is mentioned a few times annually. If you could just tell us how you arrived at this figure. Was it just thumbs up, or was it some kind of calculation or scientific basis upon which you arrived at this figure? Then you then say that quite likely in your slide 7 you talk about contributing to positive skills migration and so forth, which is quite right. However, Brakatis have comments on the processes and the barriers that the department actually creates in cases where skilled people are available to come in and they're just given the round and round. I've got numerous matters and examples of that where people are available and keen to come into the country and just simply can't because of home affairs that's holding them back. So you can talk to us about that. And then also in that response to that question is talk about internships. Suddenly home affairs without any legislative backing is making all sorts of unreasonable and unnecessary demands on internships that could take place in this country by interns, and it's simply not happening. As a result, we're the ones who lose out. Then, on your slide pertaining to the closure of the Maitland Refugee Reception Office, you talk about the problem is the landlord, but I mean it's a two-way thing. The reason why the landlord and the community in those areas, not just in this reception office but in all of them, don't like Home Affairs to have reception offices in those areas is because we don't, as a department, make it very friendly for them. So what is being done in future opening of new reception offices? Because the ones that I've seen are littered, badly arranged, not conducive to, you know, sort of people standing in queuing, lacking of ablutions facilities, all that jazz. You can just talk about that, because that's the reason why. Had the facilities been acceptable and been sort of in a good position to take the required numbers of people, the community in that area, the landlord, would have kept us, I can assure you that. Then, talk about the transformation of the DHA. It's my page 7, there's no slide number on this thing. And it talks about sort of leadership capacity and so forth. What seems to be the problem? I'm getting all these constant queries and the constant thread is just delays created by the Department of Home Affairs. It's true that there's a very small percentage of where applicants haven't filled in the form correctly or there's missing information, but that really is a small minority. So what is the problem in the delay? It just goes on, and it's just constant delays, and it's always consistently from the Home Affairs side. Then the stakeholder forums that I mentioned in your slide 22, can you just explain to me what a stakeholder forum is? I mean, I know what it is, but what's the function? Why do they exist? What are they doing that's supposed to be helping Department of Home Affairs, firstly? And secondly, how do you measure their effectiveness? What are the criteria, the key performance areas, whatever it is, to measure the success of these stakeholders? It's just a nice to have, it sounds good. So perhaps you could just unpack that. And then you also mentioned a whole lot of targets that have got to be met. And in your slide 29 and 30, for example, talks about making electronic various processes. But you just talked to us about time frames, because I don't see any time frames. So with regard to smart cards and all that kind of thing. Because and then throughout your presentation, there's a whole lot of issues that strategic objectives are supposed to meet, and it says not achieved. Now, I don't think it's good enough to say, you know, just not achieved. I don't think it's acceptable to say it's not achieved. So what is the problem? Is it that you simply set your targets too unreasonably high? And, you know, because I'm looking at, you know, the sort of challenges, you know, as to why you're not achieving these objectives. And they just don't seem very, you know, they just don't give a reason. For example, on your slide 31, it says your strategic objective has not been achieved, and the challenge is the basic need to modernize an outdated system. But I mean, that is what needs to be done. So what is the problem? Why are these things not being achieved? And I'll say the same right through. Both time frames and things not being achieved. And then on your slide 35, for example, it talks about duplicate ID, where you've got multiple persons with the same ID. I still don't understand what the problem is. Surely there's a computerized system. It's the department that generates the numbers. So you as the Department of Home Affairs would have those numbers. How is it that they are being issued in the first place, and yet you can't trace those duplicates? Perhaps you could talk about that. And secondly, has it been considered to actually simplify the system? From my experience, I see it's just a very complicated system where forms are going to be filled in, people are going to queue three or four times. Why are these processes not being simplified, similar to the Department, the SARS entity, which literally you can do online, and it's simple and efficient and quick? Why? Surely the applicant's process, the application process, should be quick and easy and simplified, and it seems to just be constantly complicated. Then on your slide 37, you talk about that the challenge is that your look function is no longer working due to damage to the server. Now, you know, if you've got a backup, you can just change the server and carry on working. So, I mean, just unpack that. Well, I mean, how can a damage of a server halt work? Unless you're telling me there's no backup that's been done. So perhaps you could just talk about that. And then on your slide 40, you talk about prioritizing visa facilitation services, specifically for Angola and DRC. How were they arrived? How were these two countries arrived? And are these the busiest points that should be prioritized? And if they're not, why were these particularly picked? And what about others? I can imagine sort of where there are more South Africans worldwide. I'm imagining sort of bigger cities like perhaps London possibly, or surely those, or unless I've missed it and that's already been done, the process. And then the issue with regards to your safe determination committees, where you say there's no criteria finalized. Now, of course, I haven't had a chance to look at legislation, but surely that is in legislation somewhere, firstly. Secondly is what has been done in the meantime? If these committees have still got to be established, what's been happening in the meantime? And then with regards to the creation of your refugee reception offices in Messina and so forth, if you could just tell us the status of what's happening with the inland reception offices, because although it's a good thing to get those new ones going, the fact of the matter is that you've got internally a whole lot of people, a few hundred thousand people, I guess, they're in the country. So am I right in saying that these offices would continue inland? How does the whole thing, how would it all work? And then the same with on slide 45, is that it says that the track and trace system is unable to indicate skills for the purposes of reporting. How do you know that you're not achieving your target 50,000? It becomes pointless, because if you have no way of measuring this, you're telling me there's no way of indicating this, and how is it happening? And then in the second is, how in the meantime are you then identifying these scarce skills? And it goes back to my earlier comments, in that there is obstacles put in the way in cases where there are people who want to come in. Then on your next slide, you're talking 45, where you talk, slide 46, I beg your pardon, it talks about no strategy to market South Africa as a country of destination for people with scarce and critical skills. Firstly, my personal thing is, I don't think we need to have such a strategy, because people are dying to come in. If they're only allowed in, if only Home Affairs would let them in. Secondly, is this is I don't see this as a function of Home Affairs to market South Africa as a country of destination for scarce and critical skills. Home Affairs is there to administer these people coming in. But perhaps that could be unpacked as well. And then there's a few of your strategic objectives where you say you've moved it to the next operational. You moved it as not a high operational priority. If that's the case, how is it that it was prioritized in the first place, and what's changed that it's not a priority anymore? I'm referring specifically as an example to your slide 48. And then, Chair, if you indulge me. And then, there's a few sort of objectives that you have not achieved, so talk about that, because I don't understand that. None of the reasons given are just make any sense. And then on your slide 55, you talk about it says here that there's 41 cases of finalized within 60 days, and 24 cases are still in progress. Now, that means that it's 60 days plus that it's still in progress. Why would this be the case, and what is being done to speed up and make sure that you don't have this situation? And then on page 58, you talk about this objective isn't being achieved, and the reason is delay in the identification of vacant funded posts. And surely you know what your vacant funded posts are in advance. How can you not know what your funded posts are? And so if you could just talk about that, because I'm a little confused about that. And then on your slide 60, you talk about reissuing of IDs within 47 days. So what does that mean? Does that mean it was originally issued? And why has it been reissued? Is it a mistake? And if so, whose part was it a mistake? I'll stop there. I've got more now.
Thank you. That was a marathonal question. Honourable Martina.
Thank you, Senator. I will try my very best, Chair. The first one, Chairperson, is the question around the finances and expenditure. I noticed that only 10.4% which was spent on the office accommodation and 11.6% of the quarterly budget, which was allocated for all the services and under the administration program, that has been spent. Now, that is a very low expenditure, given the fact that we need to spend at least 25% in the allocated during the period under review. Now, the question is, why have we spent this very less. In the performance chairperson of the department, the question is on page 13, slide 25. My interest there to the TDC is that Mr. Mkhize, I want to check whether are you going to have a database of learners, all learners in grade 12, and if so, I think that would be a very good thing, Jefferson, given the fact that many of them, they are unable to write exams if they do not get their IDs on time. There's one learner recently in KZN who has been waiting for his results for a very long time because the IC was wrong or not issued by Home Affairs. So it's a very terrible thing that can destroy one's life because people are dependent on the identification as the only means which becomes an enabling document. The other area is on it's on page 16. I just need an explanation on the CETA proposal concept on the Trusted Traveller Program piloted in the Maseru Bridge. I see that the target is that this has been achieved. Now I want to understand how this system operates. Say as a layman, I'm walking into the Pipe Bridge, into Maseru Bridge. I remember when we went there to the oversight, the question there was that these passports, they tend to get, they tend to expire quite easily because they get used quite easily. As a result, it's not manageable. But I need to understand how will it operate under normal circumstances for me to understand. Jay, on page 23, I won't be long, I'm almost done. On page 32, sorry. Yeah. The question there really is the whole issue of the infrastructure at the borders and the fact that we have agreed in the immigration and the refugees bill, which now has been enforced, that offices must move to the border post, which my colleague asked, but I understand that he asked a question further to say whether the offices within the metros or the cities are going to remain. But I understand this is the decision that we took as the committee, whether we agreed, some of us, I mean, I voted against that. So now it's under, it's being enforced as the law. So when the law is there, you have to abide to the democratic processes. Now, because you passed it, now I need to understand whether, how long would it take for these offices to be there, seeing that you've identified the processes and the plan seems to have been approved for you to continue with that. Will it take 2 months, a month, a year, 2 years? How long would it take? I think I'm almost done. I think let me just allow them to respond to this. Perhaps some of the questions will be answered along the way. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Member, Honorable Bosman.
Thank you, Chair. First, Chair, on page 7, the 2% for the disability must be achieved. I've seen that we are at 0.57. And I think as we had a meeting with the DG last, there were issues that we raised and we were told it's going to be the strategies that are going to be used for that to improve. And we believe that will happen. On page 8, so when I look at the posts that are listed here, indeed they are priority. But Chair, when you look at communication, civic services, we said we want 567 posts, nothing has been filled. And communication services, we said, but we're saying they are priority, these are critical posts. And we, communication services, I was talking about the boards now, and I was told that should be an issue for communication. But out of seven, we only filled one. The counter-corruption. For years and years, we've been making a lot of noise. Ultimately, we agree, critically, we need 54 posts, only four. It's filled. Now, worst of all, the DG support, 22, only one is filled. It tells you this issue. I'm trying to reflect this verbal so that we understand what we are spending it. How do we see ourselves improving in all the issues that we have been raising in this committee if the situation of this critical post is as is? It's really worrying. But Chair, for, I'm not sure the information services, what is it? Is it IT? And this is the critical point that we have raised. None of the posts have been filled. And it, having listened to the presentation, there's a great strike that have been made in terms of the system, where you see a great improvement if you listen to the presentation. But Chair, it helps. If we can do that much improvement with a minus 31 workforce, what if we had that workforce on the spot and working around all of these issues that we have raised? And Chair, I think we really, this, to me, these are really critical posts. And we need to put an emphasis on that to say, I think by December we need to have done something, really. Otherwise, come end of financial year, we'll be sitting here and also giving challenges, whilst we are the ones who are actually creating them by not adhering to the same request that we made, that we need to fill this particular post. On page 9, Chair, I think we need, what I'm trying to do here is that it's good that we are actually breaking down the issue of color in terms of the occupation of posts. But I think we also have to make an emphasis that color does not determine the capacity. We need to be very careful as to when we fill this post, we must be sure that we are filling them because there's capacity, not basically to put a certain color across. I think that that is our message that we would want to pass across. In terms of IDs, and let me first talk about on page 10 the issue of registration of birth. I wanted to also take a blame as a member of the committee to say we have adopted the strat plan with these figures. But I think in the future we need to have another measuring tool. I don't think we all know how many children are going to be born. And if we put a target to say we want to achieve 25% or 70% registration rate, we're simply contradicting ourselves. Whilst we are saying we want each and every child to be registered within 30 days, we're also saying we want to accommodate another 50% that may not be registered. And I think we need to, maybe we need to go back, the department must go back and check the other alternative tool that we can use to ensure that each and every child is registered at birth. Page 13, Chair, I think around the issue of identity documents, slightly I think Honourable Marcella touched on this, but he spoke about the database. For me, is to say maybe as Home Affairs we need to go check what is the system that we can use, that we work with the Department of Education. By the time a child becomes 15 years and over, we begin to collect that particular information about those children, that those children who are at school or who are there in our communities who are beginning to approach 16, so that by the age 16 we ensure that we directly go to where these children are and are able to then register or make sure that they get their IDs in time. Because we are doing the same mistake here today, 70 or 80% of the 16 years and over, yet we need all of them to have IDs. Oh, I thought there was something. Around the permits, when the DG was here, we spoke about the dispatching of permits to say, whilst we understand that the permits will be then collected and certain offices will be used for collection, but we need to also ensure that we need not outsource that, the dispatching of those permits to those offices. We need to have an inbuilt system that will help us to monitor and evaluate what we are doing with those particular permits. The duplication of IDs, I think there's a policy gap here. Or maybe system procedural gap, where we seem not to have a system that verifies the ID number before it gets dispatched to the beneficiary. Because if we, before the ID is printed, we verify that the number that is allocated to that ID is the correct number, it's not anywhere else, and after printing, then that is also cross-checked. I think it would minimize these errors that ultimately get picked up by the communities out there and ultimately put us in bad things. So I don't know whether we have a refugee charter and also refugee responsibility document, same as our citizens in terms of documentation that they have. Because it seems the refugees, they come here, they conduct themselves the way they want towards our own officials or within the areas where they reside, and there's nothing that seems to be guiding them in terms of what has to happen. We are relying on the treaties and all the protocols that we have signed, and I think we need to develop something towards that. Lastly, Chair, I think we need a meeting with Public Works, maybe first the department. I think we had suggested that before. We are emphasizing that the department must meet with Public Works to get exactly what is the problem. But I think as a committee as well, we need to have a joint committee meeting, both with our officials and the Public Works department, to ensure that everything, if you look at what has been done here in accordance to our strat plan, a lot has been done, but some of the things are actually buried by the non-availability or non-performance of Public Works. And I think we need to ensure that we assist the officials in ensuring that Public Works is doing what is supposed to be done. I think, Chair, in terms of spending, the issues that have been raised, one would say, if you compare with office accommodation, with what we have just received in terms of public work, works not delivering, it is also going to put us in the red, where you would find that we have budgeted that we shall have spent this much in terms of office accommodation, but if Public Works is not bringing that forth, it is very much impossible for us to do that. And Chair, I would like to congratulate the department with the good work that they have done, At least the formal template is very healthy, and we are able to follow up, and we are therefore aware whether they are going or coming. But lastly, Chair, last. If you look at the offices that we are told they are going to be available and be refurbished this year, and look what is in the strategy, it's different. And what the provincial managers told us the 2 weeks when they were here is another thing. So I think all those must go and reconcile all that, because now we get confused as to what exactly is going to happen at the end of the day.
Thank you, Mayor Bosman. On page 41, DDG, there's an issue on regulations there. To amend the Refugee Act to define composition of SDC members, not yet finalized. And you know, I always fight when members feel that regulations should be brought before the committee. I always fight them that no. Not what do we say? Our area of competence. But now I think if we delay things in this way, then we are forced to ratify the department that after every act that every bill that will be signed to act, we follow up on the regulations, because this was done, I'm not sure whether was it last year or two years back. So this is unacceptable, that in Kiza we need to know why these regulations are not finalized. Just to the composition of SDC members. No, that's unacceptable. On page 35, you refer to biometric technology. Where do we keep this, or do we work hand in hand with the police department? And on page 14, new offices that are built, there are a number of offices, new offices there. But we visited Northwest, I'm sure, last year, where we noticed that there was a problem. It is the same Daung and Khanisa, though we never went there, but we saw it's the same one, which was the park office. I don't know whether you call it a park office or what, yeah, something like that. I thought maybe that was also going to be looked into as to how could you address the issue of Itsoseng especially. And we had a meeting with the provincial managers here, and most of them were Hollywood actors. I'm surprised Mayor Bosman has forgot to mention that. All of them, most of them are Hollywood actors, acting positions in other ways. And the worst one is that of Mpumalanga. I don't know how many years Mr. Zita has been in an acting position. And I think it's, you know, because he's such a humble man who doesn't want problems. He's just sitting there doing his work. Otherwise, if it was someone else, he was going to take the department to the CCMA. Because, it's not fair. Yeah. He's been acting in that position for far too long. I think you need to address that. And whilst we had visited the year we visited Mpumalanga on oversight, we were informed that there was a lady who was deployed to go and work in Mpumalanga as a provincial manager. That lady, when she goes to Mpumalanga, she stays in a hotel because she does not stay in Mpumalanga. She's from KZN. I wonder how do we at times do our things. It worries us. We have Mr. Zita working there. He's working. we deploy a person from KZN who does not live in Mpumalanga. He goes there, the department spends money for her to live in a hotel. It's another money, which is not fair. We took Mr. Masaung from Limpopo, deployed him to KZN. He's acting. Why not appoint them? If we feel that they are good people, why not appoint them? Instead of them going there to go and act, leaving Limpopo, his province, to go and act somewhere, why not take the lady, deploy her in her own province, and let Mr. Masaung work I don't know, I forgot if we don't have an acting manager in Limpopo. Do we have an acting manager in Limpopo? Permanent? Okay. But take Mr. Masaung to one other province where we need maybe a provincial manager, because I don't understand why take a lady from KZN, deploy her to Mpumalanga, and it's just confusing. Please, you need to address that. The trading account exclude revenue collected on behalf of DICOM. Why do we collect, or why are we supposed to collect revenue on behalf of DICOM? That is only of slide 12. And the fines from overseers and penalties for conveyors, something like that. Where are these funds kept? Because they are not in the trading. They are not in the trading account. I'm sure those are the questions that are asked by members. And you will respond with all other members of the team, not only the CFO and the DDG. All other members will also assist you in responding to questions. You will delegate them over to you, DDG.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson and members. Yes, I'm not alone. I want to check which questions my colleagues would like to take home. Maybe Mr. McKay will help us with immigration issues based on his experience in that field, and then Mr. Magao on IT related issues. So that I can just indicate that on the asylum seekers, there was a presentation prepared. Unfortunately, both we requested that it be taken off. Some of the questions asked, the answers lie there. And maybe we will take in most of those questions once that presentation has been made. And then on HR, we will deal with some of the questions. We do have a backup from HR. But can I request Mr. McKay, then I will take those that are relevant to which the colleagues might not have responded to. And then I think finance, we have a capable enabling chief financial officer. He will help with some.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, Mr. Mkhize. Chairperson, members of the Portfolio Committee, I will deal with some of the issues that I think I'm okay to talk about, and Dr. Carnison will deal with, we have decided that he'll deal with some of the policy issues as well, and I'll assist where I can. Maybe first to start with the question the Honourable Member asked around the Refugee Charter. No, we do not have one, and I think it's a very good idea that we actually need to develop one, a refugee charter that would clearly spell out their rights and responsibilities as well, whilst they are being hosted in our country. And I think that's a good idea, and we'll definitely take that back and see that is done. With regard to the 50,000 migrants annually being needed in the country, this this number is not really, it's not a thumbsuck and does not come from the department at all. This comes out of a research document by the Economic Planning Committee in the presidency. And it forms, and this number is their projection of foreign skills needed by the South African economy. And this is the number that forms part of the minister's performance agreement with the president. And that is how it got into our strategic plan, because it's part of the minister's minister's performance plan or performance agreement. Sorry, and really we do we believe that the Department of Home Affairs, although we mainly deal with issues of documenting people coming into the country with the correct permits and stuff, that we also have a role to play in terms of as immigration, to market the country as being a country which is open to foreigners, and that there are opportunities for foreigners that the economy wants. So we might not play the same role as the DTI, but we believe that we can play a supplementary role to the DTI in through what is called participatory diplomacy or public diplomacy, to tell people about the conditions in South Africa and that it is amenable for people to come to South Africa for these particular with the necessary skills that our economy needs. So we do believe that as the Department of Home Affairs, that we should not only be sedentary and wait for people to come to us, but that we should also be out there marketing the country and getting people with the correct skills that our economy needs, that we do not have in the country, to get them to come into the country. With regard to the other issue, if I may, on the how did we arrive at the visa facilitation services of Angola and the DRC? This is based on volume of application, and these countries have high volumes of applications. The committee will recall that last year in our plan we had rolled out similar visa facilitation services to Nigeria, to China, as well as to India, because those were the countries with high volumes of applications for people to come to South Africa. And we had problems with the people of overcrowding at our missions, and we needed such a facilitation service. And because we do not have a visa waiver with those countries, we need to deal with every of national of those countries wishing to visit South Africa. In the same vein, although the two countries, Angola and DRC, are SADC countries, these are the only two countries, other than, there are three actually, DRC and Angola, as well as Madagascar, that we do not have visa waivers with. Because of the political situation in the DRC as well as in Madagascar, and because in Angola's case, because in Angola does not want to reciprocate and give us a visa waiver, so we still have a visa waiver with them. And there are large numbers of nationals from DRC and Angola coming into South Africa, and because of the high volumes and also of the small missions that we have in those countries, the decision was then taken to open up visa facilitation services in these countries as well. Thank you very much, Shepard. I think John will talk to the other policy matters.
Thank you, Chair. Essentially, on the national strategy comment there, we've been doing benchmarking with other countries, which maintain, incidentally, embassies and high commissions here, and they recruit our skilled people quite robustly.
We don't have a cross-departmental strategy, and the DGs asked other DGs to join him in a meeting to start developing one, so that we target certain skills that are in high demand internationally, especially by the BRICS countries like Brazil. They are experiencing skill shortages. Certain people like very advanced project managers, rural economists. I mean, there's a list of internationally scarce skills, and we can't be passive. We have to be proactive. But you're quite right, member the committee that spoke there, that in fact it's not Home Affairs' primary job, but certainly we must assist, and the country must develop the institutions it needs to manage this. Other countries have commissions or institutions, whether it's Australia or Mexico or wherever, that track and monitor this thing and come up with strategies and determine the skills. We're still in our initial stages as a country of putting that machinery together. We've been quite laissez-faire, and we recognize part of our immigration policy that we're going to take to the public once it's approved for that by Cabinet will go in that direction. Just to give you a bit of evidence, the extremely low take-up of our quota skills, even though I think the previous minister did go abroad and try and speak to various countries, we're quite far away from centers of development geographically. We need to streamline our regulations to be more accommodating of spouses who then have to apply separately for work permits. So we're discussing all these with business and with the big companies like PwC. We've had meetings with them. So we're very concerned about it. And what we've done up till now is just clear the backlog. In June, a large historical backlog of permits, I'm sure we were told, were finally cleared. Now we'll focus on fixing our systems. So we absolutely recognize the need, and we're working on it. The last thing is on measurement. Historically, we've had inherited 17 kinds of permits. Only three of them are directly related to skills, but skills come in via retirement permits, intra-company transfers. So what we're doing is that we're going to add to those databases, we'll add skills fields so that we have a comprehensive view of people who come in who are skilled, even though they came in for another purpose. And we'll get a complete picture. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Kise, Chair, the members. The first question on the check and trace unable to indicate the migrant skills. The check and trace was a system that was designed to track the progress of the documents in the department. Now, during the process of designing the system, the issues around the 50,000 migrant skills was not part of the requirements as we're designing the system. That's why if you look at the challenges and the progress, we are in the process of finalizing and testing this functionality to be included in the track and trace so that we can separate between the migrant skills and produce that report. So that functionality is in the process of being designed. I think there was a question that the target for the smart cards, I think if we go back to the announcement by the minister, the indication was that between now and towards the end of financial year, we are piloting the smart ID card. We've been doing consultation with various stakeholders from health to social development, the banks and so forth, to make sure that we accommodate all the requirements from the external stakeholders, but also to test the functionality of the smart ID card, which will include those other requirements from other stakeholders. Mr. Mkhize has indicated we've been working with CSIR and other stakeholders. So we are in the process of really finalizing the smart ID card pilot. We are also planning to implement the live capture, because without live capture, we won't roll out the smart ID card. So the timeline really is that in the next financial year we'll start issuing the spiraling grant as indicated by the minister. And that within 18 months then there will be an announcement to call all the citizens to go and apply. This is the process of replacing all the smart ID card, all the green ID book with the smart ID card. There was an issue around why the system cannot be simplified like the one of SARS. If you remember, Chair, part of the ID modernization is really to transform all the IT systems in the department with the latest technology that can respond to the current business requirements and also the client's needs. So we are in agreement that we are in the process of designing those systems. We are also working with SARS, as you know, on systems like live capture and so forth to make sure that in future people can apply for ID documents, passport online, and just come to Home Affairs for verification through the biometric, which is the fingerprint. And that will eradicate or eliminate the number of queues that we are currently having in the department. So we are in the process of doing that. That's part of IT modernization project. The issue around the Honorable Marcella on the Trusted Traveler Program, how it will work. What we are trying to do is to expedite the movement of people in and out of the country through frequent travelers that you will find in your Maseru Bridge, where people are working in our country but they sleep in Lesotho and so forth. So what's going to happen here is we will create a system whereby when somebody is coming into getting to Maseru Bridge, they can just put their fingerprint and the gate will open. They don't have to stand on the queue because that information will be on the system, and then with the biometrics we can verify because it's a unique identifier. So they don't have to stand on the queue, they just come in and put their fingerprint, and when they come, they do the same thing. And that information will be recorded as much as when somebody is putting a stamp on the passport. So that's what we are planning to do. Also, in future, we're looking at the iris as the technology through the eyes. Those that have been to Heathrow will remember that frequent travelers, they go through the IRIS system, they don't have to stand on the queue. So that's something that we're also looking at as an option. I think on the Honorable Bosma, the issue around the duplication, I think I've addressed that. Yeah, it's also an issue around the process, which we are also looking at, because designing a technology which is not informed by the right processes will still give you a challenge. So we're looking at all those issues around processes, technology, and the people to have a complete system. But maybe just to answer the issue around the post, I think the HR will answer, but just within IT, essentially we're not doing very bad, because what's happened is that in the first month of the financial year, which is your April, that's where we start advertising the post, because we have confirmed the budget and so forth. And then in the next month, that's where we have interviews and also people go for competency assessment, because we are going through a comprehensive process of making sure that we appoint the right people with the right skills and the attitude and so forth. So in the third month, that's where we start second month and third month. We issue the letter and people serve notice. And that's why, Honorable Bosma, if you look at IT, currently we have already appointed about 6 people, which they've started in this quarter, most of them, because the interview process is happening in the first quarter. So in the next quarter, as we are presenting, you will see that there's a huge improvement in terms of appointing the people. I think the last one is what the chairperson has asked, the issue around the biometric technology that we are working with SEPs. Yes, chairperson, we are working with SEPs and also other government departments and private sector. I must say that in particular the South African Police Service, they've been very slow, because we have designed the interface from Home Affairs, which is used by the banks, Old Mutual, and everybody. From private sector, there's a lot of movement and progress, but from police, really, there has been a lot of challenges in leadership. They've only appointed the chief information officer the past 2 months, and we hoping that there will be progress, because they were even allocated money to make sure that they can have integration with Home Affairs. We meet with them through the integrated justice system cluster, and they also came to the department. We have presented to them, so we are waiting them. As Home Affairs, we are ready. That interface is ready for everybody, so we are waiting for them. I think I just give the issue around the server, where the issue around the look function, which was asked by Honorable Defrisis. We had a challenge during the time that we wanted to produce this report, and that the server was that function was not available during that time. That server is no longer being used. It was the server that we were using to convert information from the manual to electronic. So that problem will be resolved, because we are using the other server. It was just a challenge at that time when we produced it. Thank you.
Chairperson, if I may just add to the question asked by Honorable Nasella on the frequent traveler program, I thought I would just add that not anyone will be able to get onto the frequent traveler program. There will be a screening done, a vetting and probity checks being done, so that we are clear that if we use your biometrics to come in and out of the country, that we know who is coming in and out of the country, and we as a department have vetted you, and we are sure that you will be no threat to our national security.
Thanks very much, colleagues. Can I just start by post some of the questions can be clustered together. If you start with a question relating to the duplicates itself, what caused the duplicates, why are they there? Clearly, Honorable Defense, that's the problem, as you explained in the past. We're dealing with a country that has got a historical problem of multiple national population registers. A country that had to deal with manual paper-based fingerprints. A country that comes from a history where people who don't speak the language were responsible for capturing the names of people in various ways. And therefore, at the end of the day, the department had to deal with that legacy to create a single national population register. And in that exercise, the key thing that this development then has done was to transform fingerprints to automated fingerprint identification system. That system was able then to identify the duplicates that were created historically by the legacy, in part and mainly of apartheid history that we had. Now, transforming that system required that first to clean up the data. And it was through that exercise of the current plan process of the department to transform these fingerprints from paper-based to manual to electronic. So these are mainly, we did enumerate other reasons for this, and then of course the issue of people who do multiple changes of their dates of birth or whatever, and at the end of the day, without them being properly classified, we had those problems. So we are cleaning that data. And then we indicated we moved from about 400,000 that was identified, and hence now we're talking about that 100,000 plus that has been advertised to help us clean it. In that way, we have a better way of moving forward, so that we have a clean national population register whose integrity is beyond question. So that is mainly in a nutshell, but you did explain that. I will not go into further detail, but we are eradicating the duplicates. And the system now definitely does pick up the issue of problems about identification. Why are we saying that? If you look at what has been implemented by the department now, and this is in line with the same question about SARS, while SARS deals with a limited number of clients, this department deals with multi-million people in this country. And therefore, some of the systems might not be exactly the same as us. However, the following have been done to modernize the department to deal with identity management. when the department then introduced what we call online fingerprint verification. It then identifies the citizen's identity at the source, at the local office. The department implemented live capture to minimize manual intervention by people. The department then moved to the level of introducing what we now call track and trace system, so that we are able to monitor the application of clients, where from the time they apply to the time they get their ID document. These innovations lead then to what Mr. Makau is indicating about further enhancement of systems are a reflection of how we are modernizing the organization, but to meet the needs of each diverse clientele, which is not the same as those who have limited needs. But we worked with SARS, also with the issue of movement control system, to ensure that at the end of the day, World Cup 2010 is a success. So where there are areas of collaboration, we'll do so as a department. Then on the issue, again, around why reissues, that one, Honorable Director, is clear. When someone applies for an ID for the first time at the age of 16, we'll get the ID. We regard that as a first issue ID because it's the first time you get an ID. But when you decide to get married or to amend your date of birth or you amend your surname or your name, we call that ID a reissue ID. And that is the only difference between the two. So it's not because of any other achievement. It's just an issue of people do reapply for IDs. We have a responsibility to issue them with that ID. That's why it's called a reissue. And then on the issue around the HR matters, maybe first starting with the one of the refugees, because as we indicated earlier, that the refugee issues, asylum seekers, while they are contained in the other presentation, but we can respond to the issue firstly of the landlords being blamed. It's not the issue that we are placing that on the landlords, but it is a matter of fact, well documented, that it is the landlord who stopped the department from continuing services there. It was not a choice of the department. And for us, we pay, the department doesn't get there for a free contract. We pay landlords so that then they can enhance the environment in which we render services. And that was not an issue of being owed. It was an issue of a landlord who said, I've committed to other people and I cannot change, and we don't know what was involved in those commitments to other landlords. So the department, when it had to close that Cape Town Centre, was not based on because the environment was unbearable in that area. It was because the landlord wanted someone else. And then on the issue of why we relocate to the borders, there has been a clear concept around this issue, that is the volumes, most people in this country, for them to enter and travel to inland areas, they enter through the border because they are a foreign national. So for us to avoid you being a victim of all these markings and problems and being in a country illegally loitering, it's better to get a service nearer to where you enter and then be supported and provided. Then in that way, you alleviate a problem for that person rather than for them to travel to Cape Town. Because when you enter from Libombo but you come to Cape Town, between Cape Town and Libombo, what document makes you account that you are in the country? So those are the reasons, but that will be captured in a bigger picture when the presentation of asylum seeker is made. And then of course then the issue of the, we accept, I think, honorable, on the office accommodation, I think that will be addressed by and CFO. But database for learners, we have a very good relationship with the Department of Education. In fact, they do provide us with the database. We work on their CD, and that CD will even indicate which learners at what learning center and where will they write their exams. So that relationship exists. We work with them, but we will strengthen it, and we take that advice to make sure that every year. It's just that this time they indicated to us that because they also work on a cyclical basis, so if you are in grade 9, they know that you'll be writing matric in in Patriot in Trieste. So they give us those cities. That's why they said for this time, what they gave us previously, now they'll only give us the new cyclical database of the next metric group in 2011, sorry, in 2013, March. So they have committed to that. But to deal with the learners who have a problem, we do, when it is time for exams also, create even a toll-free number. Just to say, are you a matriculant out there dedicated to learners who are writing matric? To say to them, can you then come forth if you've got an ID problem? Last year alone, the figures were so low, and there were not people without IDs. It was the people who were saying, maybe I've applied, I'm waiting for my ID. We can provide those figures. There were less than 100 out of the number of thousands who write matric exams. So we do have that relationship with the Department of Education. But I think what you say, Honorable, will strengthen that relationship so that all the time we can also look at year-on-year databases for them. And then on the issue of the 2% disability that must be achieved, Honorable Bosman, we agree we're working quite hard to make sure that this does happen. Hence in our targets, we indicated our partnership now working directly with DPSA to help us really to do even headhunting where possible, but also working with the Department of Labor's database throughout the provinces in a decentralized fashion so that people don't apply from very far from home unless they are being intended to be appointed at a head office or in Pretoria when they are coming from a local level in Mangaung, for example. So, but we are, the progress is very, it's painfully slow, and our intention is to really meet. We have been coming to the committee, has been raising this matter, and we are going to really pull up also and strengthen efforts to get to this target. We accept the advice and in total. Now, the issue of then the measurements of our targets, as was raised, we did indicate in our report that we have realized that there are some targets that might be problematic in the way they are crafted. While this might not change the intent, but we will go back, because the targets Honorable Postman has identified are the targets also we fully agree with you, that if it's outside of our control, how many beds are going to be there? How do we put even 1.1 million? Mm-hmm. In fact, when we went to State SA, they indicated that there is a declining trend of birth rate in the country, and therefore this target is not really relevant if you use 1.1 million to say that, because it means now we must set targets for the ladies to say, can you have the twins, can you have one? It's going to be a problem for us. So the idea that we will go back and revisit that was, we're just joking to say this target out of our control, how do we deal with it? So we will definitely revisit the target that we see to be problematic. The 16-year-olds are the same problem, 100%. But how do you know that there is one who is sitting somewhere who has not come forth? Or the 100% should be the one you have taken application and processed, and therefore within the given time and ensure that that person who applies does get an ID. So we are going to go back and we take the advice and we'll implement those changes. And then how do we see ourselves improving the issue of the course? We have looked at this, we even discussed it recently. But first we must start by indicating that our intention to fill the course was that the first quarter we must do our necessary preparatory work and everything. Then we start from the 1st of July, which is then. But that is why the target, as we are reporting on the quarter under review now, it was the first quarter where we were not targeting to fill the new post as per the target. We should then, as Mr. Macau indicated, be able to report better performance in this quarter, because then this is where we're going to be tested whether we are meeting that, because the target was for that 9 months. But our other challenges, as indicated there in the quarterly report. So on the issues about then permits, advise the parent not to outsource. Yes, we remember that very well. we will still go back and look at it. But the feeling, of course, the department was faced with one of the biggest challenges, and that through the process of the SNDF feeling, of course, one of the unions decided to challenge the department. So when the matter is up to TK, you can't then continue implementing until the outcome is finalized. So we had those other challenges around moving faster with the process of the process. Acting people. yeah. Maybe I must give a context. The branch, maybe what Zoom is really, what is more about civil service. If we look at the branch itself, we historically had a problem because in the structure, you have a TDG who is a male. You have the chief directors who are male. All of them not one unit. Then the question was how to change this structure because we can't force these ones to resign. So that they make space. Then the only gap that was really available to deal with the real challenge of top management and gender equity, the best opportunity was with the provinces, because at that stage the department was moving from the concept of zones and then went back to provincial concept. Now all the zones were mainly managed by males. It was Mayegiso, it was Simons, and it was in Bola. So it was a problem that already you've got in the out of 9 provinces now, already 4 are males. Now you combine those males with males at head office, it means literally civics won't have an opportunity for females if we push appointing males in the post. So that is where we had a problem in terms of that. And efforts even of presenting have been done, even recently now. Last week the post closed, and we tried to make them at the shortest possible time that they turn around to fill this post. So we accept that there is a problem there, and it was identified. There were females that were identified, and when they were, the department went to do security clearance and security checks, some of them couldn't make it, and therefore then we couldn't proceed with appointing them. So we had a problem around that area. But even now we have advertised, we have closed now. The intention is to move with speed to try and finalize it. And this time the advert was crafted in such a manner that it clearly specifies that we are targeting female candidates to the best of our ability. If then it all fails, the department will have to consider what to do. The female who acted in Kumara was not from KZN, Honorable Chair, was from Gauteng, but the effect is the same because it was from outside the province. So we accept that the issue of acting is really taking too long for province, and it does create instability. We need to make sure that there is stable management. I think I was trying to respond in the overall so that we can then allow the CFO to respond. If there are any other questions we might have missed, if Honorable Chair, you will alert us to those. Thank you.
Thank you, the low spending for audit services, this is mainly due to firstly, they're supposed to cost us internal audit, because the audit services is related to internal audit. And they have advertised, or they are going to advertise a tender. It has, the specifications have already set, have already been presented to BAC. It's a matter now of advertising that tender, and then they will appoint the relevant people. So normally in internal audit, in the first quarter you are doing lots and lots of planning, and you also do the low expenditure work, where you audit around housing area or head office area. And then in the quarter three and quarter four, that's
high volume expenditure work will then be done. Also, there's a lot of introduction of efficiencies in this area in order to generate savings, because all of us in the department, we need to generate savings. And internal audit is one area where we've identified that some of the expenses maybe that they are incurring might be unnecessary. There might be better ways of doing the internal audit rather than the way they've been doing it. So that's the response relating to the low spending in audit services. If we look at office accommodation, I've already mentioned that we get the invoices on a quarterly basis. So for the first quarter, the invoice we only received it in July. And what we did in 11-12, end of 11-12, we asked them for an invoice in advance. So we paid the last quarter of 11-12 in March instead of paying it in the following quarter, because that expenditure would have then come in the first quarter of this financial year. If we then look at the issue of reconciliation of the offices to be refurbished, I apologize for that, but the list that we presented today is the final list that we are dealing with in terms of the offices that needs to be refurbished. And this issue of refurbishment of offices is centralized at head office. So what usually happens is the province will submit their needs to say these are the offices that we want to be refurbished together. The finance branch and civic branch will sit and will then decide which are the 15 or so offices that will be refurbished. So we will communicate this list to the provinces to say it's the final list for the current financial year, unless if something happens during the financial year that will change the list. The issue around the Northwest problem, this issue we've looked at it. Khanyisa currently has got an office now. It's not a permanent home affairs office, it's a rented office space. Khanyisa has got that. It's a thing, we've moved away from the park homes or park offices to it's a small office, but it's in an Eskom building that has been offered to us. But we are currently working with DPW to identify suitable accommodation for each thing. Trading account, I think there was a bit of a mistake where we said on behalf of DICO. No, it's supposed to be revenue collected for Home Affairs by the Department of International Relations. And if we look at the fines, the issue is the fines, they sit on the movement control system. And then what we do, we need to capture all the revenue that we have received. We compare that to what is on the movement control system. So there's a reconciliation process that happens outside the system, which is quite cumbersome and is a manual process that takes longer than expected. So there's a significant volume of this fine that we need to process, and the process has already started. So in the next quarter, we'll be able to report the revenue that we have received in terms of fines for the first quarter in quarter two. So that's something that we need to work on in terms of getting at least a few people to capture those fines from MCS to our accounting system. I think that's it for finance.
Although my memory serves me well, this question was once asked before and we responded. So for now I'll just respond at a high level to say that the stakeholder forums, rather than being a nice to have, really, this department have a history of being detached from the citizens itself. And the idea of stakeholder forums was to entrench accountability and cooperation between the department and the citizens itself. And the following, as I indicated previously, measurement of its performance. Firstly, the issue of qualitative and quantitative. But the main thing is, in a nutshell, is that these stakeholder forums, they provide, they play a role of advice, but also advance and coordinate service delivery improvements that are required. But also they inform and monitor and provide oversight where we cannot be there, so that they work closer with citizens and they can report and speak to the department where there is particularly a problem of poor service delivery. Then department can come in with initiatives to intervene. But finally also they guide and mobilize also as one of the key roles they play. So that mobilization of community to come and render services, directing us as a department where there is a need for services more than the other areas. So they have a very massive role they play in assisting us to take services to the people, but also to help improve services in our local offices, but also in terms of partnering with the department to advance change in the department in general. So therefore those critical roles that they play.
The one issue about the meeting with DPW, there's a planned meeting between our minister and the Minister of Public Works regarding the challenges that we are experiencing.